This is Shirley Abrams and Eleanor Cohen with our second interview with Alan Berkman in his office in the Frick Building on September 2nd, 1981. This morning we'd like to start by talking about your community involvement, your organizations, and...
Let me first go back to the early years of my involvement when I came out of law school and settled in Pittsburgh. I quickly became interested and involved in the Hill City Youth Municipality, which was an experimental type of program established by Mr. McKinney for the purpose of encouraging and exposing underprivileged, particularly minority people living in the Hill District, to municipal government.
When was this?
That was probably, to my best recollection, in 1937 or 8. I continued to be active and interested and involved in that agency until there was consolidation between the Hill City Youth Municipality, the Anna B. Heldman Agency, and the Soho Community Agency, which is now represented by the Hill House Association. Two of the principal benefactors of that original agency, I'm pleased to say, and with some regrets because both of them have since passed away, were Ben Paul Braisley and Fred McKee. That experience and exposure carried me forward to getting involved with my temple work. I was a charter member of the junior congregation of the Rhoda Shalom congregation. I became involved in hospital work in the late 40s, I believe, and was and still am on the Monitor Hospital Board as a life trustee, formerly a vice president, active on the executive management committee and on the joint conference committee at the hospital. I've been involved in non-Jewish community activities such as the Salvation Army, Pittsburgh Symphony, I thought it might be appropriate not only to speak about some of these, but to perhaps hand you a more detailed biographical sketch that I find it necessary and appropriate to use from time to time, and particularly the detail underlying my recent honor by the American Jewish Committee, because that committee involvement also carries me back for many years. I was a charter member of the Pittsburgh chapter of the American Jewish Committee, closely involved with Louis Kaplan and his colleagues, and was the president of the Pittsburgh chapter. I have here, and I will leave it with you, as I indicated, not only the biographical sketch, but the detailed information that was used in connection with extending the honor that I received by the American Jewish Committee designated as the 1980 recipient Human Relations Award of the American Jewish Committee. I don't mean to be modest, but I think it would be more appropriate if I simply direct your attention to the community involvement and activities that were reported and served as a basis for this recent honor. I'm particularly interested to have you know that aside from the community activities that I was involved in, that is the Jewish community activities, that I was involved in my legal profession. I'm a member of the American Law Institute, a member of the American Bar Association, and the Allegheny County Bar Association. I've served on a number of committees of the local bar association and have recently been appointed as a member of the American Law Institute, Pennsylvania Bar Association committee, which serves as a working group between those two organizations. While I take considerable pride in my involvement in community activities, and particularly Jewish activities, I must say that I am equally proud of my accomplishments as a lawyer and as a community supporter of many of the non-Jewish organizations. I may have already indicated that I was involved with the Vocational Rehabilitation Center, which in its early years was known as the United Employment Agency, United Employment Agency, I believe. And that, of course, is one of the major beneficiaries of the United Way in our community, serving handicapped people. And serving the community at large, not necessarily any particular faith or nationality of the community.
Well, before we get into your further activities, why don't we talk about your career, your law career.
When I came out of law school and was admitted to the bar, on my birthday, coincidentally, January 7, 1937, but my birth, of course, was January 7, 1912. I associated with four seasoned lawyers who had offices here in the Brick Building. Harry G. Tinker, who had been the secretary of the Allegheny County Bar Association for 30 or more years when I came to the bar. John M. Henry, who had been an assistant U.S. attorney shortly before I came to the bar, but continued to practice as a private practitioner. William J. Conley, who I believe shortly before had been an assistant county solicitor and solicitor for Shaler Township when I came to the bar. And William A. Blair, who was a former Pennsylvania Railroad employee, then studied for law and took the bar exams and was really one of the early supporters of my interest in the law and my involvement here. He subsequently established a law firm then known as Griggs, Moreland, Blair, and Douglas, and retired, and just passed away about 2 years ago in retirement down in Tampa, Florida.
I think we did get into that a little bit. You practiced independently in those days.
I was
on the eighth floor here.
Yes. And then I became associated with Marcus D. Wedner, with David Glick, Robert Engel.
Is this one at a time, or
no,
they all?
We were all associated together, and I think that association was in the mid-40s, mm-hmm. here in the Frick Building.
That was Marcus Widner, David Glick,
Robert Engel. And Marcus Aaron II joined us, I believe, in the mid-50s, 1956, 7, or 8, as I recall. In 1964, when David Glick had passed away, I joined with Julian Russlander of the Russlander and Lieber firm to establish the law firm that is now known as Berkman, Russlander, Pohl, Lieber, and Engel. Frank J. Pohl of that firm joined us in 1967 and is presently retired. Mr. S. Leo Russlander was in his 90s when, in his late 80s when we put the two law firms together, and passed away at age 97, I believe, about 2 years ago. I think it's important to note, too, that he was the oldest surviving graduate of the Columbia Law School, having graduated in the class of 1901.
Interesting.
And equally important, perhaps historically speaking, he came to the old law firm of Weil and Thorpe, which was here in the Frick Building. A. Leo Weil and Charlie Thorpe. A. Leo Weil continued his law firm as Weil, Christian Weil, and Thorpe organized his law firm as Thorpe Reed, presently known as Thorpe Reed and Armstrong. It may be of some interest to record that my first exposure to the law, and by that I mean within the first several years when I came to the bar, I was involved in a reorganization practice. The Bankruptcy Act, having been changed for the first time from 1898 to 1938, I found myself involved in bankruptcy reorganization. My class at Harvard made that a particular area of interest because my professor was the architect or the author of the Chandler Act, which was the first change in the 1898 Bankruptcy Act. I was involved in the reorganization cases as a result of the father-in-law of one of my law school classmates who referred a rather involved matter to me here in Pittsburgh. I also found myself involved in labor law in my early years when the Wagner Act was just beginning to take shape in our economy and society. And that came to me as a result of a matter being referred to me by the father of one of my high school classmates and friends. those were the early years of union organization by the Teamsters and the steel workers. And I make reference to that because I had the pleasure and somewhat of a distinction, perhaps, in having dealt with Babe McDonald and Phil Murray before him, and some of the Teamster officials and representatives, Tom Fagan and Mel Humphreys. And I make reference to that because we still do a lot of labor work here in the office. And while I'm not actively involved in that, I still have an interest and work closely with our labor lawyers here.
Mr. Burley? I'm sorry. I was just thinking, I know you were instrumental in National Council of Jewish Women getting having Anathem House as their...
Yes, I'm glad you asked me that because I do look back with a great deal of personal pride and fondness in having been involved in that. When the Anathem House was in the throes of establishing a new location on Murray Avenue, it became a rather difficult question of zoning. And Dave Glick was equally interested in that particular matter, but felt that I was better able to handle the procedures. And Mrs. Anathan and Dorothy Blumenthal worked closely with me in that connection. And we finally satisfied the opposition that the establishment of the Anathan House would be an improvement in that area. And I know that anyone who is familiar with the Anathan House activities in the last 20 years would share my view and confirm the fact that it is an improvement not only in the neighborhood but in the community, and continues to be recognized as a very viable and a very important contribution to our community.
Was there a lot of difficulty?
There was considerable difficulty, primarily because people were apprehensive about the programs and the change in the residential character of that particular area. But in all fairness, once it was fully explored and explained, we got considerable support. And after it was approved, I think it's also important to say that our opposition accepted the change gracefully, and from time to time I run into some of the individuals at the Harvard-Yale-Princeton Club who were our most vocal adversaries, and they comment about it favorably, even to this day. Some of the opposition were people who lived on Aylesboro as well as on Murray.
What kind of, are you specializing in any particular kind of law today in your practice?
I would say that I've always been interested in the civil practice, and civil practice dealing primarily with business. That does not mean to say that I do not have individual clients who are not necessarily active business people. To that extent, I had been interested and still am in the administration of estates, wills, trusts, a private practice related to concerns and legal matters dealing with estates. My business-oriented practice has been labor work and business mergers and acquisitions. While I do not hold myself out as a tax specialist, I have enough background and knowledge about tax matters to recognize the problems. And now, of course, we have lawyers who specialize in the various fields. I still regard myself as a generalist, even though that category of the practice is becoming less and less popular because of the complexities of the law, and frankly because the training of the lawyers now encourages most young lawyers to elect to be either a criminal lawyer or a personal injury lawyer or a litigator.
Age of specialization is here everywhere.
It's not any different in the legal profession. I assume that it was or is in the medical profession. I am reminded, too, that I'm interested in the Carnegie Museum, particularly because Selma is a member of the Women's Committee. I'm a fellow of the Carnegie Museum. I think I've already indicated earlier that I was on the Blue Cross Western Pennsylvania Board, which of course was a natural interest flowing from my involvement with the Montefiore Hospital. I was in the earlier days of our children on the Winchester Thurston School for Girls Board. I was vice chairman after serving for a number of years there, our three daughters having graduated from Winchester School, Barbara, Susan, and Helen. I was, and still am, involved in the Harvard Law School Association, serving as president of the Harvard Law School Association of Western Pennsylvania. I'm on the board of the Harvard Yale Princeton Club, having served as a president of the Harvard Club of Western Pennsylvania. And I must say that I am told that I was the first elected president of that association who was not an undergraduate of Harvard College. I went to the University of Michigan for my undergraduate, and I felt particularly pleased to be elected president of the Harvard Club of Western Pennsylvania. And that carried me forward to my continuing involvement. I'm the regional director of the Associated Harvard Alumni. That encompasses the Harvard Club of Cleveland, and the Harvard Club of Akron, and the Harvard Club of Western Pennsylvania.
Shall we talk a little bit about religion at this point? Your observances and the organizations and institutions that you have been involved with.
Well, I think I've already indicated that I grew up in a country community as the only Jewish family, so my exposure to a Jewish heritage was primarily in our household. My mother and father were Orthodox Jews by practice. We would travel to either Canton, Ohio, or to Steubenville, Ohio, to observe the holidays. I never felt that we observed the Sabbath as traditionally as Orthodox Jews observe the Sabbath. I was never required to observe the traditional kashrus. I was anglicized at an early age because of my youth. When I came out of college, my parents were members of the Beth Shalom congregation, so I, in respect to them, and my first inclination was to be a conservative, active, practicing Jew. When I came out of law school, I found that my young friends and associates were mixed, that is, some conservative and some reform, and I elected to join the Reform congregation, Rosh Hashanah congregation. And as I've indicated, I'm pleased to say even now that I was one of the charter members of the junior congregation. And having married a Texan who also had pretty much the same kind of background and was a Reformed Jew, it seemed to be just natural that we would continue both to be affiliated with Rosh Hashanah.